Blog Talk Radio.
Hello there, this is Carl. You're on Freedomizer Radio, and we're going to do our Bible study today, 3 o'clock Eastern Standard Time till 4:30. And just bear with me, I got to get all my equipment here, and I did not get it yet, so I'm going to get it, but I'll just say a couple of things before we even start. We're going to give you the phone number if you would care to call in and make a comment. But if you do call in and make a comment, just like always, I'm going to ask you to do me a favor and keep the comments or the questions relative to the context which we are studying in the Bible, which will be, actually, we're going to center out of Judges today. And the other thing is, keep all the comments or anything that you say appropriate. And you'd think in a Bible study that wouldn't be necessary to say, but it's extremely necessary from past history, because I will cut it off immediately, take your phone number, and attempt to not allow you back on again, because that has happened to me on quite a few occasions. So enough with that. That's negative, and I don't want to go on the negative. The true gospel of Jesus Christ is only positive. Let's make sure we get Raven. Are you there?
Hello there, Carl.
Are you there?
I'm here.
You're there. Okay. All right. So I'm going to give you a phone number here, and you can call in from anywhere in continental United States that I'm aware of, toll-free, and it is 319-527-6208, and that includes a landline, which is interesting. We are going to go ahead and we're going to start in Judges chapter 3 and verse 1, which you are right, Raven, 3:1. And just hold on a second. I got to get to that myself.
For some reason, yeah. I always have a hard time finding Judges. And we've studied in it many times, but I just have a hard time.
I do,
and
too.
I know it's right after Joshua.
Too.
It's Joshua and then Judges.
Yeah, it's after Joshua and Samuel. It's before Chronicles and it's before Samuel. It's before Kings. It's before Chronicles. So I just open it back in that area, and then I just wait till I, you know, after I see it.
Yep.
All right.
I've got it, but I just have difficulty for some reason. All right, I'm there.
Now, due to the people's rebellion, which they did in 450 years, they ended up rebelling against the very God that they believed in, and they rebelled against him in 450 years 10 times. 9 times they repented, and he then sent them a judge who was very much like the prophets were. The judge always spoke the words of God that these people were to hear, to make them turn from their idols of worship and turn back to God and faith in him alone. Why don't you, Raven, read 19 through 23 just to recap where we leave off in Judges chapter 2. 19
okay.
through 23.
Yep. And it came to pass, when the judge was dead, that they reverted and behaved more corruptly than their fathers by following other gods to serve them and bow down to them. They did not cease from their own doings nor from their stubborn way. Then the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel, and he said, because this nation has transgressed my covenant, which I commanded their fathers, and has not heeded my voice, I also will no longer drive out before them any of the nations which Joshua left when he died, so that through them I may test Israel whether they will keep the ways of the Lord to walk in them as their fathers kept them or not. Therefore, the Lord left those nations without driving them out immediately, nor did he deliver them into the hand of Joshua.
All right, let me ask you a question. Read 19 again.
All right. And it came to pass, when the judge was dead, that they reverted and behaved more corruptly than their fathers by following other gods to serve them and bow down to them. They did not cease from their own doings, nor from their stubborn way.
All right. Now that is, we're in the Old Testament, and I realize it's 2,700 years ago, and I've heard all the nonsense of the Old Testament, and this is, you got, we're no longer under the Old Testament, we're under grace, we're not under law, which only holds until we talk about tithing, then we're under law of 10%.
Right, right.
Which always amazes me, but I want you to read Matthew 7, 21 through 23, and then I'm going to ask a rhetorical question.
All right. Matthew 7. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness.
And this, folks, is not meaning that he's going to go to Dunkin' Donuts alone, or he doesn't want you to join. This means the lake of fire for all eternity. This is a judgment, is a great white throne statement.
Yeah.
Now, what I want to ask, and again, people, don't I don't want to get involved in any of the controversy that you can't lose yourself. I have no interest in exploring that. It's a, it's not pertinent to what we're saying. But you see in the book of Judges, he's talking again, read 19 one more time of Judges 2. He's talking to people who believe in him.
And it came to pass, okay. And it came to pass when the judge was dead, that they reverted and behaved more corruptly than their fathers by following other gods to serve them and bow down to them. They did not cease from their own doings nor from their stubborn way.
Now, I want you to look, and we say they were believers. Trust me, they were.
Yes.
These were people that went into the promised land. It wasn't the original ones who crossed the Red Sea, because out of 3 million of them, they did not go to the promised land because they did not believe. They did not obey God in the okay. So what we got is a situation with people believing in God. Looking again, Raven, at what you read in Matthew 7, those people definitely believed in God. They healed in his day.
Yes.
Healed people. They cast out demons.
Yes.
They taught in his synagogue. Folks, I'm only asking the question because the moment your heart stops, you don't have a chance to examine yourself anymore. I'm asking you the question, is there anybody that is in that position that those people in Romans 7, 21 through 23 are in and don't know it? They've been lollygagged by a false gospel. Their faith is in Christ plus something else, baptism by water, their denomination, their church, whatever it would be. Just, I'm asking you, ask yourself this question. Because if
right.
there is, the moment you go into eternity, if you haven't explored examination of self and you're in that group of Matthew 7, there is no hesitation with these people. I'm amazed they were upset that Christ even had to ask them a question on the way in to the pearly gates. I mean, they were convinced
yeah.
they were the top of the crust. I healed people. I cast out demons. We taught. Come on, Jesus, don't waste my time. And what did he tell
yeah.
them? You ain't getting in, folks. I'm just saying, the
right.
same as in Judges. And I know Judges is the Old Testament. Examine yourself. Read 2 Corinthians 13:5. We've got to get serious about this stuff, folks.
Yes. Yes. You're so right, Carl. There's going
well,
to be
you,
one
you
moment.
Add your own thoughts to this. You add your own thoughts to this, too.
Well, you know, we've talked about
serious.
This, Carl. There's going to be that one final moment. And are you prepared for it? Because Satan
is.
I just believe he's going to come at us in that last moment with both guns blazing. Both guns blazing. Wherever you have been in the last, I don't know how long you've been saved, but let's say that you've been saved for 10 years. Let's say you've been saved
mm-hmm.
for 30, whatever. But wherever you've
what
been, you've been in those last 10 or 30 years, the worst possible, the worst possible moment that you have had. Let me say this, okay? Last
sure.
night, this is perfect. Last night, I'm on an app called Reddit. Some people may be familiar with it, some may not, but it's a social media app, okay? And there are some Christian groups in there, and someone this just really hit me hard last night, Carl. Someone came on there last night and posted that they were terrified. They were terrified. This person was terrified because he or she, I think it was trying to remember. It doesn't matter. He or she said, "I am unrepentant. I cannot find
that's a great thing. Hold on. That's a fabulous thing to realize if you do something about it.
Yes. Yes. But he came asking for help. He said, "I am unrepentant.
Oh, okay.
I cannot find repentance." He said, "I am terrified. I just don't
That's
seem
right.
to be able to get back to where I have been." He said, "Is it possible God has given me up?" And all this, and I told him, I said, "Listen, if you realize it, if you're aware,
if you realize it, that's not what these people were. They didn't know it. They had no clue."
Right.
You're on the
I
right
said,
track.
"You are
you're
in
on the perfect track.
A good place." You know,
absolutely.
I said, listen, I said, and I told him something that you and I have discussed many times, and that is, listen, you have, for one thing, you have, because he was like, you know, "I just don't believe that, you know, that I can get back there, and I am so miserable," and, you know, just on and on. But I said, "Let me tell you one thing." I said, "Satan is trying to make you feel guilty, but
absolutely.
Go with the conviction." I said, "Allow the Holy Spirit to convict you of your need for God." I said, "You need to be in Scripture." I said, "I understand your need for wanting to come here and hear from someone and you need the help. The only help you need from us right now is prayer and Scripture. That's what you need."
Well, one thing.
I said, "You need to get into your Bible and get into prayer with God and do not and rebuke Satan." That's really all you need right now.
Hold on, Raven. The thing is, Raven, people make such a theatric about repentance. It has nothing
yeah.
to do with emotion. Might you be emotional?
Yes, that's the other thing.
Okay. Yep, go ahead.
Yep, that's the other thing I told you. I said, it doesn't matter how you feel. And someone else also came on and said the same thing. It's not about your feelings. It's not about how you feel about where you are. It's about truth. It's about what God says. So he has not given you up.
Let me interrupt you a minute. You said the best thing you could say. If you told him it was that, number one, the evidence that he has repented is the fact that he knew he needed it. And number two, because if we haven't repented, we're not going to listen to any of that. And then
that's
number
right.
two is it's not a feeling. Now, did he respond back to you?
No. See, it's sort of like on Facebook where, you know, when you're on, you see it. You know what I mean? And he may come back on in an hour. I don't know. And I haven't been back on it this morning, so I don't know. I'm not sure.
So you gave him the textbook answer.
But, you know, but this is what.
You gave him the right thing.
I'm curious to see sometime this afternoon what he has to say, you know, and I hope that he's able to, to turn back. But I did tell him, I said, it's not a matter of God letting go of you. He will never leave you or forsake you. It's you walking away from him. You know,
when did you respond?
So, he needs to turn back to him. And I'm just hoping that, but this is the thing, though. This is what God is saying here in Scripture, you know. This is what they are the ones that it says they reverted and behaved more corruptly than their fathers. This is what they did. And he is saying, listen, you know, you had the chance. You have the chance. And he, how many times did he get? 9 times. It was the 10th time finally that they just said, nope. And they just completely did not repent.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay, because you gave the perfect answer. You cannot acknowledge the fact that the people in Matthew 7, they were annoyed that Jesus stopped them from getting in the pearly gates. They had no clue. Let's go to another one to prove you're right on that. Let's do another one. Let us go to Revelation 3.
All right.
And again, these people are clueless in whatever city they live in. They have no concept that they're not on the cutting edge. I want you to read 14, 15, and 16.
All right.
And these
and to the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things say the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know your works and that you are neither cold nor hot. I could wish you were cold or hot. So then because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew you out of my mouth.
Okay. You know, Raven, if you wouldn't mind just something different here, would you please see what you can find out about coming on here as a co-host? Because you and I are so totally out of sync.
Okay.
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 But look at this now. You say I am rich and I'm increased with goods and don't need anything. And this is in red. These people have no clue, folks, that they've got a problem.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. This guy that says he can't find repentance, I'm afraid he may be into a church that wants signs and wonders or emotion.
Mm-hmm.
You can have emotion. You can have signs and wonders. This is not my creation, repentance. It's the Holy Spirit. But my gracious sakes, you, the person who does not repent, the whole AA system of Alcoholics Anonymous is based on the fact that nothing can happen until you know you need help.
Mm-hmm.
And that is, I believe that to be true. So you look at this now. In verse 17, because you say I am rich, I'm increased and with goods, and I need nothing. Now read from there on in, after nothing, to what Jesus Christ describes these people as.
You know, Carl, here's the problem with the AA system, though, that
power. Hold on, Raven.
Oh, yeah,
I'm not
I know.
Here to discuss that. Okay, I'm just saying that even the AA system made a worldwide famous statement out of the fact that you can't go anywhere until you admit you have a problem, and that's that way in anything.
Right. No, I was just going to say though, for anybody listening, it's yeah. No, they
them.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm not advocating for spiritual growth.
Okay.
Whether
yeah.
It works for
yeah. And I know
day,
you aren't.
It works for, okay. Well, I thought I'd said that, but maybe I didn't. So let's
go ahead
and read after nothing. Let's read what Jesus says about these people who say they don't need anything.
Where did you want me at?
Well, you read up to the word nothing in 17, Revelation 3.
Oh,
they need
okay.
Nothing. Now read what Jesus
yeah.
says about them. These people, folks, had no clue. That's why I say, going back to the statement AA made, you can't do anything about any problem in your life unless you recognize you need help.
Yeah. All right. So Revelation 3:17.
Yes, you read up to nothing. Go ahead.
Okay. Where am I now? Oh, 18.
Might want to read all. No, here, read
okay.
17.
Because
again.
You say I am rich, have become wealthy, and have need of nothing, and do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked.
Do you think these people thought they were on the cutting edge? Absolutely they did. They need nothing.
Yeah.
They don't even need Christ. I'm saying
yeah.
anybody out here listen to us about Judges. He's saying the same thing in Judges that he says to us at the end of Revelation. Wake up. Now go to 2 Corinthians 13:5 and read that. This is what the Holy Spirit,
okay.
and that answer you gave the man was perfect. He may never feel it. Raven, I have never felt any emotion from any of this stuff to speak of.
Right. 13:5. Examine yourselves as to whether you are in the faith. Prove yourselves. Do you not know yourselves that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you are disqualified?
Think of this. He's writing this to believers.
Yeah.
The book of Corinthians, all the epistles are written. The epistles will help anybody, unbeliever, believer, whatever. But he's written this book to the Corinthian church, means believers. And in the beginning of 1
yeah.
and 2 Corinthians, it specifically states that it's written to believers, to saints in
yes.
the church, called by Christ. Okay. And he's telling them,
amen.
Examine yourself. Please examine yourself, because you don't know that you might have based your salvation on something other than Christ alone.
Right.
If you're basing your salvation, folks, on your faith, you better examine yourself right now. Get off the phone. Get off this. Don't even listen to it. Because you're not saved by your faith. You're saved by grace through faith.
Yeah.
And there are people, Raven, many of them, that I've heard Bible studies that say their faith saved. No, it doesn't. You receive it by faith.
That say their faith,
I mean,
what?
Examine yourself. You receive God's grace and salvation by faith. You're not saved by
yeah.
your faith. Okay, but trust me, there are so many Christians who say, that I'm just saying, like there's a lot that have told me, not a lot, but more than one for sure, that you've got to have water baptism to be saved. No, you don't. water baptism is just like water baptism was back in the days Christ started preaching. It was only for the repentance of sin. But we've actually developed that into now where water baptism is a necessity to Jesus in addition to Christ.
Right.
We've got people that believe their faith. Their faith is what's, no, it isn't. Ephesians 2:8, you're saved by grace through faith. Faith is the vehicle or the thing that you receive it with. Without faith, you can't receive salvation.
That's a very, very interesting, Carl. That's a very interesting, what's the word I'm looking for? So, it's a very interesting distinction, I guess I want to say, that,
well, it's because,
you know, between
Raven,
that.
I know people, Raven, that say that they are saved by their faith. No. It's no different than people who say they're saved by water baptism. What I'm saying to people, do like you're reading in Judges, examine yourself that you're not in Judges 2:19. Because if you are, once your heart stops, you have no time to repent.
By grace through faith, yes, yes. You know, I have to admit, Carl, I never really thought of that before. It's true. It is true, but I never really thought of it in that manner before.
Okay, well, that's what I'm saying, because I do know people, Raven, that say that they are saved by their faith. No, you're not.
Right. Well, and I have to admit that I say the same thing, but I've said the same thing, but you're right. It is, you're saved by grace through your faith.
You
see what you mean by that. Yes.
Read Ephesians 2:8.
Yeah. Yeah. Hold on there. Let me get there. And that not of yourselves. It is, hold on, Ephesians 2:8.
Mm-hmm.
Right, because if it was by our faith, then
it would be
because of something we did. It would go right back to being something we did.
Right, and that's Ephesians 2:8.
But for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Yeah.
Okay, now let's prove what you just said. Read 9.
Not of works, lest anyone should boast.
Mm-hmm. So you see what he's saying. If you believe it's your faith, that depends on what you've done, not on what God's done. And it can't be that way.
Very interesting. Yeah, I never really thought of it that way before, but yes, that makes so much sense. Yeah.
Well, it's biblical.
Mm-hmm.
We're saved by grace through faith.
Mm-hmm.
We receive nothing except through faith, but everything we receive is a work of God. It has nothing to do with me. Or we would be boasting about our works, which we do.
Right, yes.
Any other thoughts?
No, I just never thought of it in that particular way before. And it's, it really sort of, it just puts another whole look at it. And it's not that I wasn't aware, because I've always been aware that it's,
aware.
You know, that conviction that God's the one that does all the drawing, that God's the one that does all the work, but it just cements it even more to look at it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Nope.
Yeah.
It is. Okay, so we got that. Now, I'm going to do something here. Let me just make sure that it's in the where I'm going to say. And it'll explain a little bit better. I'm going to go to Romans 3. And I want to do 20. Yeah, go ahead and read Romans 3:20-23. But understand, folks, that if you're saved by your faith, it's a work that you do. Salvation can imply,
yeah,
can only be through what your faith and what Christ did. So go ahead and read Romans 3:20. You'll just see it worded another way, 3:20-23.
All right. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, no flesh will be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge.
Okay, that means that nothing you can do can save you. Not
yes.
your faith, nothing.
For by the law is the knowledge of sin. But now the righteousness of God apart from the law is revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Even
so
the righteousness
the
of God.
The law is doing what here? With the prophets, everything in the Old Testament, which was the law and the prophets, is pointing towards the fact that we are saved by Christ. Faith in him. Go ahead.
Yes. Even the righteousness of God, which is through faith in Jesus Christ to all and on all who believe, for there is no difference.
Mm-hmm. So what you're saying, it is the righteousness of God through faith in Christ in what he's done, not what I'm doing.
Right. If we go down through 24, being justified
yep.
freely by his grace. Through the redemption
that's
that is
perfect.
In Christ Jesus.
Perfect, perfect. You know, that is a tricky little one to pick up on. You're saved by
it
grace
is.
Through faith, but faith doesn't save you or it would be a work.
Yeah, those two things have to come together, but the grace comes first. The grace
wait a minute, it's like you,
comes
it's,
first.
It's like you throw a baseball at me. You threw the ball.
Yeah.
I receive it by the catcher's mitt, but the catcher's mitt had nothing to do with throwing the ball.
Yeah, if I don't have his conviction, if I don't have his grace, if I don't have his mercy, cannot
Amen.
Have faith.
Yep.
Yes.
Okay, you've got that. So let's
yeah.
folks, ask ourselves, are we in this situation of Judges 2:19? Because everything the Bible says, folks, is repeated over and over, Old Testament, New Testament. The
right.
only thing the New Testament is number one, Hebrews 1:1 and 2. In former times, God talked to us by his prophets. But today he talks to us through his son. That's one difference. The other difference is when Christ died on the cross, and this is why we take communion and baptism, saying publicly that we believe this and accept it and believe it, Jesus Christ gave you the power of his own power to obey the law now, which we were never able to do. We couldn't. But when
right.
you now put your faith in the finished work of Christ and nothing you do, including your faith, because what is faith synonymous to? Faith is synonymous to belief and trust. And that's Ephesians 1:12-13. Faith
yeah.
is synonymous to faith and trust is synonymous to belief and trust. So, but belief and trust is not a work you've done. It's how you receive
right.
the blessing of God. This is a little, you're right. You have to think about this. This is not something that you're going to see just at the spur of the moment.
Right, yeah. I mean, and the other thing, Carl, is that we have this church tradition of thinking that it's all about us. You have
that
to do this. You have to make this decision. You. It's all about me, right?
But go
it's
back
all
to
about
what
me.
You read in,
what are you going to get out of it?
Think of what you read in Revelation. Those people already told Christ they didn't need him. They didn't need anything. They didn't need money. They needed nothing. It's all about them. Read Revelation 3 again to yourself. It's all about that 14, 15, 16. It's all about what they did. Your faith in yourself is a work, and nobody's saved by the work.
Yeah.
All right.
You know, I want to tell you something. Many, 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 many years ago, I was probably, 17, 18 years old. Living home with my parents, and I saw this TV show. It was one of those talk show things that used to be on years ago,
mm-hmm.
Sally, Jesse, Raphael, or something like that.
Oh,
okay?
I remember her. I remember her.
Yeah. Yeah. Something like that. And anyway, so I don't know if any of those are even on anymore, but she had this two different groups on her stage that day. One was Christians and the other was Satanists. So what I remember from this day, and God must have just put this in my mind as a reminder, just to always have that in there. These Satanists said, and they thought of this as a great thing. But I always thought, boy, that's how they trick these people. They said, we don't worship Satan. We worship self. We believe that you should just live your life the way you want to live it and be happy with who you are. It's all about you. And this is what I remember from this, that these people were just like, everything was all about you and I and me, and it's just everything was about how they just wanted people to be able to focus on their best them, and having their best life. And, when you think about it, that's exactly what the churches today are becoming.
Do the same thing. Yeah,
think of like the prosperity gospel. It's the same thing as what these Satanists were saying 40 years ago, 45 years ago, whatever. They were saying, listen, and it's all about you, and that's what this prosperity gospel really preaches. They say, hey, it's all about you having your best life, having all the money you can have, being just blessed, blessed, blessed every single day. It's all about you.
Yep. It is.
And that's what Revelation 3 is really saying the same thing too. It's, these people saying, I just want to be all about me. And that's what you just said with
Raven. But the key here is what you said, the churches are teaching us that these days.
Yes. And that's what that faith before grace, it teaches too. I don't need God's grace because I got my faith. It's my decision. It's all about what I believe. It's everything's about me.
Exactly. But that's what we're teaching when we tell people they've got to be baptized in water to be saved. Or we told them they've got to speak in tongues, or they can't. Anything you add to Jesus Christ and him crucified, folks, is one of these TV programs, something they've done.
Yes.
See, the problem is, and you know this, Raven, I know you do, in Genesis 3:1, once you doubt the word of God, which is 3:1 and 3:5, you're like God. You know everything. God has no right to tell you what the conditions of salvation or anything else is. That is a,
yep.
that is the first curse that we were given. We weren't told to go out and build another Hugh Hefner mansion. We weren't told to go out and start a new mafia. We were not told to do anything. Just Genesis 3:5. The minute you eat that fruit, which was doubting the validity of the word of God, you automatically bought on your own self the curse of thinking you're like God. And the churches today are pandemic with it. That's why in the end time church, which we're in the end time church of Laodicea, these people are not even going to have a clue that they've got a problem. So this man you talk to, Raven, he's hundreds of thousands of eons past these people. But it's not the big thing you told him. It's not emotion. And see, Raven, you and I both know that you don't go into every Christian church and say it's not emotional. They'll ask you, please don't come back.
You know what's interesting, though, Carl? Even though he says that he doesn't have that emotion, the very fact he's in there saying, I can't find repentance, says he's found repentance.
Do you know what I mean? Raven. It's like the blaspheme the Holy Spirit. You can't blaspheme the Holy Spirit unless you know the truth. I wish he'd respond back to you, because that was the key. It's not. It may be. I've seen people come with tears come to their eyes, and I think was sincere. But God's salvation and your repentance is in your will. It has nothing to do. Accepting God's salvation and repentance has nothing to do with emotion, although it could have it.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
Boy, this is great that you were able to correspond with him.
Yeah. In fact, I'm actually...
Yeah,
I'm looking here, and I don't see that he has responded. I thought I would look here and see. But
yeah,
I'm looking here, but I don't see that he's responded. But a few people have responded to him, but he has not. He has not responded.
Let me just ask a short question. I hope people didn't tell him that he's got to work up his emotion.
No, I don't see that at all in here.
The
response, there's only a few, but the responses that are in here are very scriptural, very biblical. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, very biblical.
Okay.
Yeah, for the most. I mean, like some similar, there's, I see one that is not, but, you know.
I'm glad you only see one.
Yeah, well, there are only a few answers, one, two, three, four. There are only four, and so 25% are not good, so one out of four. But, and that was 11 hours ago. So, he may have posted it and then, I say he, but no, I don't know that it is. I'm looking here and I'm not sure if it's male or female. I think I read it and, I thought it sounded like it had a male voice, but I'm not sure. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well,
he sounds desperate. Or I'm using the male, but he sounds desperate, literally desperate.
He would be.
So
because he's seeing the powers of darkness. But the fact that he's seeing it, I'm convinced he has to be have repented.
Yeah, I mean, when I read this person's post, I was just like, I could hear desperation in his voice in reading
right.
it. It just
fantastic.
Cut me to the heart, you know.
Well, that's great.
I couldn't do anything except for respond. It was just so. I felt like I certainly would never want to feel that way. It was so.
Raven, but that's something the enemy's going to throw at you. Like you said, in the end, you're going to get bombarded with everything.
That's right.
Folks, don't think the enemy's not going to hit all of us with something very difficult.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
that's what I was saying.
I'm serious.
Yeah. Well, that's why I was saying earlier, you know, the worst thing that you ever come across when that last second hits, take that one and multiply it by about 50 because he's going to hit you the hardest he's ever hit you in your life.
Absolutely he is. With the thing that you're most weak on in your faith. No question.
Because that's his last chance.
That's his to get you, yes. Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. That's his last chance.
But we've got to get back to this in Judges. You better pay attention, folks. You better examine yourself.
Yeah.
In fact, next to Judges 2:19, put 2 Corinthians, put everything we've given. 2 Corinthians 13:5, Matthew 7,
2 Corinthians
23.
Hold on, let me write this down.
2
Corinthians 13:5.
Right, and with that, I want you to put Revelation 3:14-17.
Mm-hmm.
And then put Luke
9:23. There was another one.
Right? Well, we had Revelation.
I'm sorry, what was that?
We had 2 Corinthians. We had Revelation 3. We had 2 Corinthians 10. And then we had this one here, which was Judges 2:19. Well, the
2 Corinthians 10 what?
I believe it's 10:13.
I think that's, I think it was too. Okay.
Let me just make sure, being I'm working on it. Put Luke 9:23 with it. It says the same thing. Examine yourself daily. Deny yourself daily.
And what was it? Matthew what? Matthew?
7:21-23.
Yeah. Thank you.
And then, of course, you got the Revelation 3.
Yes, I have that. Mm-hmm.
Isn't this amazing, though?
Yeah.
Now, let me just get to that 2 Corinthians 10 and make sure that's it. Hold on. Yeah. No, it isn't.
It's not?
No, hold on. Raven, I'm going to find it. Just bear with me.
Okay.
It's 2 Corinthians 13:5.
Oh, okay.
But just examine yourself. This is written in the Old Testament, Judges 2:19. Doesn't mean that it doesn't apply now.
Exactly.
As I say, if every church I've ever been to says you must give 10%, that shows they have some belief in the Old Testament. So that is not biblical giving in the New Testament. It isn't. All right.
Right.
Let's go ahead and go back to Judges 2 and read 20-23. Because this is us if we're not willing to examine ourselves and we happen to be in this state. Listen to what happened. The penalty is the same, Old Testament or New Testament.
Then the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel. And he said, because this nation has transgressed my covenant, which I commanded their fathers, and has not heeded my voice, I also will no longer drive out before them any of the nations which Joshua left when he died, so that through them I may test Israel.
Think of that. Think of that. He will no longer deliver them. That means that God will not deliver you from any of your enemies.
Yes.
And your enemies are looking to bring your soul to hell.
Yes.
That is a tough one.
Yeah. That should be scary to us, you know. In other words, our trials are going to be worse that we go through.
You're right. It is going to get worse. It's not only going to be hell on in eternity, literally, but it's going to be much worse now.
Yeah.
Because God's the only one that can drive out your enemies.
Right.
Romans 8:13 tells you that. Read that.
Make it up there. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live.
So that's
you know,
true,
Carl, my,
through God. Only God has the power to drive your enemies out. Not you, not your church, not your denomination, not us for sure.
Right.
This is a wake-up call to me, Raven. I think of this frequently, examine myself. Why, Lord, I'm born again. Well, you may have been, but you see where these people were believers? Well, that can't happen in the New Testament. Read Hebrews 3:12 to anybody who says it can't happen. And I'm not trying to argue with anybody. I'm trying to show you the heresies that I hear in sermons all day long on Christian radio. Not from everybody. Didn't say that. But it's pandemic in the church.
This is why this hit me so hard, you know, when I saw this guy's comment.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, I've talked to people. I've talked to people before that have said, you know, I used to be a believer, but I no longer am, you know, and I stopped believing 10 years ago or this or that.
Yep.
But I've never talked to anyone who's been in the throes of the situation, who's been like, I think I may be losing my faith. I think, I don't know what to do. I've never talked to anybody who's been, like, right in the midst of it. And
I got to admit,
that's
interesting.
Yeah. That was quite a, it's sort of a shock. I don't know how else to put it. It just was, wow. Yeah. Yeah. I've never seen anyone
now
going
go
through
back,
that.
Go back and read chapter 2 of Judges, verse 18. This is the point of all these judges.
And when the Lord raised up judges for them, the Lord was with the judge and delivered them out of the hand of their enemies all the days of the judge. For the Lord was moved to pity by their groaning because of those who oppressed them and harassed them.
Now see the key there. He delivered them out of the hand of their enemies all the days of the judge. That's while they were listening to the judge. But then you came down to verse 19, one verse later, where they no longer were following the judge. They no longer wanted to hear God's word.
And also, the one key thing, too, at the beginning of 18, it says, when the Lord raised up judges for them.
Amen. And that's
God
the only one that
in,
can do it.
Yes. When God was in charge, but look at us now. We're the ones raising up our own judges.
Amen. Even in the church. We're not talking about the outside world. We're talking in the church where people give you rules and regulations the Bible doesn't say anything about.
Yeah. Yep.
Give you another one. Did you read Hebrews 3:12? It shows us that we can do the same thing that they did in the Old Testament. Sin
All
has
right.
no respect to time.
Yeah. Hebrews 3:12. Yes. Beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God.
You see, that's the same thing that we read in Judges 2:19. Same thing. Well, we can't do that. I'm not going to get into that argument right now. Just read what Hebrews 3:12 says. And it's written to believers.
Yeah.
Because the first thing that happens, Raven, with so many, is they want to drag you into this argument. That can't happen. I didn't write Hebrews. Like, we don't know who did for sure. We assume it was Paul. But we have good reason to believe it could have been him. All right. Now go ahead and read 20 through 23 in Judges, because this is what happens to you 20 through 23 when you repeatedly keep telling God you don't need anything. You're a Laodicean. You've got good works and you've got more wealth than you'll ever need. God, we don't need anything, including you. That's exactly what they did here in the Old Testament.
Right.
That making sense? Okay.
Oh, yeah.
All right, let's go to 3:1 now.
Now, these are the nations which the Lord left, that he might test Israel by them. That is, all who had not known any of the wars in Canaan.
Think of that. God leaves some of these nations. He doesn't drive them out. Why? He wants those nations to give you so much trouble that you finally turn to him because you can't do it yourself. You see that? In 23,
yeah.
He said, Therefore the Lord left nations without driving them out hastily, neither delivered he them into the hand of Joshua. And why? So that these nations would be sort of like Hebrews 12. They would actually perform conviction, judgment, chastising, chastening, correction to us. And God does that not to get even with you or be mean. He does it, folks, because if you continue in that avenue, you will walk away from God through unbelief. You will depart from the living God through unbelief. This is no different than the New Testament warnings. All right, go ahead with 2 of 3, chapter 3.
All right. This was only so that the generations of the children of Israel might be taught to know war, at least those who had not formerly known it.
Okay. Go ahead.
Namely, 5 lords of the Philistines, all the Canaanites, the Sidonians, and the Hivites who dwelt in Mount Lebanon, from Mount Baal Hermon to the entrance of Hamath.
Think of this. You want all this stuff? You want all the Philistines, all of them? You want all the Canaanites, all the Sidonians, the Hivites? You really want all of them in your life harassing you? And not harassing you to make you better, to bring you into the lake of fire? He allows the lords of all these enemies to go at you, hoping you'll give up.
Right.
Read 4 tells you again, why does he allow this to happen?
And they were left that he might test Israel by them to know whether they would obey the commandments of the Lord, which he had commanded their fathers by the hand of Moses.
Do you see, Raven? Well, this is exactly what is in Hebrews chapter 12. Exactly.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now, having said all that, what should our outlook be when God gives us something to wake us up? Read James 1, 2 through 4. You've
yes.
got to get this attitude towards problems, folks. If you don't, you're going to give up, because the battles are going to be so many and so heavy on you that you can't handle it on your own. And that's all God's saying, let me do it.
Yes. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing.
And that's why God allows these problems in your life, to correct you, to change
yeah.
you.
Yes.
And change what about
yes.
you? The fact is, you're like Genesis 3:5. You can do it on your own. You don't need God anymore. That is the cause of every soul that will go to hell.
Yeah.
Okay, when you say, yeah,
yeah,
I'm assuming it's clicking. Okay.
Oh, absolutely.
God is proving you in this verse 4. They were to prove Israel by them. That's all the Canaanites, all the enemies. God is trying to prove to you that you need to repent. You need to let
Absolutely.
Him. But to feel every problem you're going through and to recognize and think about it, that it's the best thing for you, that doesn't even make sense to the human mind. But it's true.
Yes.
Now let's
Amen.
See what God does here. Go to verse 5 of Judges 3 and look what he allows them to do. The same thing you just read in verse 3.
So the children of Israel dwelt among the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites.
Okay, now look what the enemy's going to do to you, folks. Go ahead, 6.
And they took their daughters to be their wives and gave their daughters to their sons, and they served their gods.
You see? Their daughters to be their wives. In other words, the believers married the daughters of pagans, and they gave their daughters to their sons and served their gods. The one you follow, the one you follow, folks, you will be a slave to. You
yes.
will, if you worship him, if you serve him, you're going to worship him. Why not serve God? You
yes.
see that? Do you see where we're just bringing trouble down on our shoulders? That is going to. It can get to the point where you. And you made a comment earlier that people say Christianity doesn't work for them. You see how you can get to that point?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
All right, 7. Examine yourself in everything Raven's reading there.
So the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord. They forgot the Lord their God and served the Baals and Asherahs.
Do you see where that's Hebrews 3:12? The children of Israel,
yeah.
they departed
yes.
from the living God. They no longer believed. They believed intellectually.
Right.
All right, go ahead with 8.
Therefore, the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel, and he sold them into the hand of Kishon-Rishathaim, king of Mesopotamia. And the children of Israel served Kishon-Rishathaim 8 years.
You see what's happening here? Now, the word she started with was therefore. Therefore was because of 1 through 7. Make sure
yeah.
you're not in 1 through 7. Examine yourself. Ask God to show you. People say, oh, it's a good question. You want me to you want me to make sure I'm not 1 through 7? How do you do it? Go to God. Ask him to show you. Your children of Israel served for 8 years. This is a 450-year period, and they had 10 of these rebellions against God. Some of them went 50 years. And 3 of them, they not only suffered for all these years, but in 3 of them, they turned out all the people of Israel were absolute slaves. We can become a slave.
Yeah.
We can become a slave to sin, and I'm gonna tell you something. I've been there. I have been there where you can't, if any of you ever smoked, you can't even get out of bed in the morning before you have that cigarette. It's just you feel you need it. When you are a slave of sin, it's the same thing. You don't feel you can function without it. It's ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
Just like
yeah.
It's ridiculous you can't get out of bed. When I was smoking 3 packs of cigarettes a day, I never smoked in bed, but I lit one up when I got out of bed. Now, did I have to have that cigarette to function? Even an addict of smoking would say, no, you didn't have to. But it doesn't make any difference. Do you see the deception in here?
Oh, yeah.
They served for 8 years.
Yeah.
Now, what happened after the 8 years? Read 9. Here, this is Raven 9 as a result of the fact God allowed Hebrews 12 to get to them. He gave them Hebrews 12 of all these problems to get them to come to verse 9.
When the children of Israel cried out to the Lord raised up a deliverer for the children of Israel, who delivered them. Othniel, the son of Kenaz, Caleb's younger brother.
So now these people are crying out to the Lord, and he will give them a deliverer. All right, go ahead with 10.
You know, he's so faithful. He's so faithful.
Yeah. You said it to me earlier that God will never leave us, but we can leave
right.
him.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. We turn our backs on him over and over and over again. We mess up. We decide we're going to do it our way. And so he's, you know, takes his hands off and just says, okay, you want it? You got it. Go ahead. And then when we start crying because we screwed it up again, he comes along and saves us as always.
Yes, he does. But this is not where the story ends, because these people went through 9 apostasies, and 9 times God delivered them over a 450-year period. Where we're going to end up is 1 Samuel 8:6 and 22, where they finally said after 450 years, they told the last judge, Samuel, we no longer want God ruling over us. And God said, after 450 years, you don't want me? And he departed from them. And he's never gone back to Israel. He took the kingdom from them. He took the Great Commission from Israel. I mean, this is serious, folks. Don't approach this as if this is this is just an academic lesson. This is not no way, shape, or form. Do I want this to be academia?
Right.
This is as serious as a heart attack. Or more.
Yeah. The Spirit of the Lord came upon him, and he judged Israel. He went out to war, and the Lord delivered Cushan-Rishathaim, king of Mesopotamia, into his hand. And his hand prevailed over Cushan-Rishathaim.
Now, just compare and contrast that to verses 5, 6, 7, 8. In fact, read 8 again. This is what God did while they were rebelling.
Okay. Therefore, the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel, and he sold them into the hand of Cushan-Rishathaim, king of Mesopotamia. And the children of Israel served Cushan-Rishathaim 8 years.
Okay, and then you come down to verse 10, where he delivered them from this king.
Yes.
Only because they finally woke up. But if God had not allowed all these horrors to happen, these people would have been happier than heck until they opened their eyes in hell. Remember the rich man?
Yeah. Yes.
He died.
Yes.
He had died. Luke 16 says he died, and he opened his eyes. In fact, let me go to it. He opened his eyes in pain and torment in hell, Hades.
Yes.
Luke 16. Let me read that. I don't want you to see it then, folks, but there's nothing you can do then.
Right.
It came to pass that after the beggar died, he was carried by angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell, he opened his eyes being in torment. That's not the time where everything we're doing here, including to ourselves, is to keep us from getting to that point. Well, it can't happen. I've been a believer. I'm baptized in the Holy Spirit. I got every gift. Don't say it can't happen.
Right.
Every epistle is talking about the ravenous wolves that after Paul died would come in. Why? To destroy the flock. Set 1 Timothy 4:1. I know that after my departure in latter days, there will be people coming into the church preaching doctrines of demons and devils. If you're in a church that is not preaching the scripture and they're giving you stories and they may use two or three verses just to make it sound good and they're not basing their presumptions or their conclusions upon scripture alone, get out of there. Your soul could be at risk. I'm not telling you it is. Explore all these things. I have no right telling you that you're in trouble. Just what Paul said in Corinthians. Examine yourself, because it's happened here to the same group of people for 450 years. Now, they weren't the same people living 450, but the same group of Israelites. 450 years. And how did they end up? They finally end up where they told Samuel, we're done with God, and God told Samuel, no, I'm done with them. That's the way they feel. You want to play games, folks? You only got to get so long to play, because once God determines that the game is over, it's over. There's no time to do anything. And I don't want anybody to find out in Matthew 7:23 where they tell God they're rich, they don't need anything. They teach, they heal people, they cast out demons, and he tells them, you never knew me. Folks, that's the entrance into the lake of fire. If anybody is listening to this program, including ourselves, well, I can think to myself, well, Raven, you've been teaching the Bible. You even mentor your grandchildren. That can never happen to you. Oh, the enemy is going to be focused on you more than he is people who don't care.
Right. Very true.
Go ahead. Yeah, it is.
No, I'm just agreeing with you. Yes.
No, it is true.
Yeah.
Read verse 11.
Yeah. Satan doesn't care about. Satan doesn't care about those who aren't believers. He's already got them.
Exactly.
So the land had.
I mean, even in the business world, when I was training salespeople. The one thing you'd have to be careful is once they got comfortable, new people in sales with a customer, they would spend all their time with them. No. You got to get out to the ones you don't have.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
Now read what happened because they finally repented in 11.
So the land had rest for 40 years. Then Othniel, the son of Kenaz, died. Yeah.
Okay, and as soon as he died, the judge, what happened in verse 12?
And the children of Israel again did evil in the sight of the Lord. So the Lord strengthened Eglon, king of Moab, against Israel because they had done evil in the sight of the Lord.
Do you see how quick this changes?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Now read 13.
Then he gathered to himself the people of Ammon and Amalek. Then he gathered to himself the people of Ammon, and Amalek went and defeated Israel and took possession of the city of palms.
There you go. How quick did it take to go from verse 11?
Yeah, yeah.
As soon as
no time at all.
The prophet, yeah, they immediately went back. You see where Satan is after the believer. And I've had this stupid saying, we give Satan too much credit. I beg your pardon. We fantasize him. We put him in Hollywood. He's the second most powerful creature in the universe. Only God, who is the creator of creatures, is more powerful than him. We don't realize the power of Satan.
Yeah. Because God has allowed him.
Yes. Oh, yeah. He doesn't. Well, here, Raven, you read twice where God does this to test us.
Mm-hmm.
God allows him to test you so he can show you where you're weak.
Yes. Yeah.
That's why James says when you're going through trouble, count it as joy, because that's God's gift to you.
Yes. Yeah.
Now, if you're looking through this with the flesh, that you want your best life now, you're one of those people, why do bad things happen to good people? No. Remember what Raven read in Romans 3:24? We're all sinners. No, all have turned aside.
Yeah.
But religion, including false preaching in Christian churches, emphasizes the fact that you've got to get better. You getting better is never going to happen in any phase.
Yes.
It is only by the power of Christ as you call on him. You think these people gave themselves 40 years of rest? No. God gave it to them.
Yes.
We can do
yes.
nothing without him.
That's right. Yep. Yeah, we are. We are useless without him.
Well, we can't do anything. That's John 15:5. Without me, you can do nothing.
Yes. Yes.
Now read verse 14. They just went through 40 years of peace. Now what's happening to them?
So the children of Israel served Eglon, king of Moab, 18 years.
Okay. Now look at 15. Here we go again.
You know, Carl, this reminds me of something when I read this. So, when the more we turn away from him, knowing that we're supposed to be following him, the worse our circumstances become. You know?
Absolutely. But he's doing
I mean,
it
here they are.
Good. That's why James says rejoice.
Yes. Yeah. But here they are serving their enemy, and they're probably cursing God because of it, and God's just saying, listen, just come back to me, and you won't be serving your enemy. You know, but they...
Raven, we're so stubborn,
we don't want to listen.
Think of this. Maybe you might have a thought on this.
Mm-hmm.
How do people identify their enemy? James tells you the way. James 1:5. You may not even realize consciously what your enemy is, folks. Don't do this without God. Don't do any of it. In fact, start with God.
Yes.
If you lack wisdom, ask him, and he will give it to you. Don't buy into enemy is, because, well, some idiot like me tells you, when I don't even know my own enemy, I've got to rely on God for everything.
Yeah. That's so true, Carl.
Oh. Raven, there's times when I don't even know what my root cause problem is.
Right. And people that I have thought were friends have turned out to be enemies, and people I thought were enemies have turned out to be friends.
Yes. I would say it's more likely that the friends turn out to be enemies.
Yes.
There's very few enemies that turn out that you see, but there are some.
Yes, there are.
I'm going to tell you something, Raven, and people may not like me saying this, but outside of a few people, which you're one, I am not going to bare my soul in a Bible study in a church, because you're going to get beat up.
Yes.
In general, there are few people who are following the Holy Spirit. That limits it down to very few.
I'm telling you,
I'm serious. I have tried bearing my soul to Christians, even in my Bible studies now. And you've heard it, Raven. Carl, you're always beating yourself up. Always. No, I'm not.
Right. Yep. No, I'm right there with you, Carl. I agree.
Oh, yeah.
You are. Yeah. Yeah.
We're all in this boat. Now, what I'd like to do is we're going to go ahead and stop. We'll come back and start with Judges 3:12 next week, because I don't want to get in the middle of this and then lose continuity. So we'll start in 3:12. But do you have anything else to wrap this up with the people, please? We're not saying this to say you're a phony or anything, but the Holy Spirit writes in the Bible constantly in the New Testament, examine yourselves daily.
Yeah. Absolutely.
You got you, folks. It's your soul.
Yeah. Because we don't know. We can't take man's, put it this way, we can't take man's word for it that we are saved. Do not rely on the word of some person who looked you in the face and said, repeat this prayer after me, okay, now you're saved. Please do not do that. Do not rely on some man or woman's word. Go to God's word. You should know.
Pastor Rand's sermon today was on the rapture. And he said just what you're saying. He said just what you're saying. He says, I don't want you to wait till the rapture happens and then get serious about this stuff. He says, I want you to examine yourself now. Examine yourself. Don't give up. Don't ever quit. Because the enemy is going to throw a lot of deception at you. And even if you feel comfortable, ask God if you need help. Ask God to show you where you may be slipping and don't even know it.
Yeah. Right.
I give that man credit.
Because
he tells you to go to God for everything.
Well, see, and that's exactly what we need to do. I mean, goodness, I didn't even know. I didn't understand. And I know I've mentioned this before, but there may be people who've never heard it. And the first time I prayed that prayer that someone told me to pray, I was not saved. I went for about 10 years. It was about 10 years that I went unsaved and thought that I was. Just because
you
I had been given...
Wait. The key is you thought you were.
Yes.
Because you were
yes.
listening to man in church.
Yes. That's right. I had been told
obviously,
by a person.
Obviously, you didn't take verses and chest them by that, or you'd have known it.
Right. Well, I didn't because I just believed what they told me. I thought they knew what they were talking about. And I said, yep, and I said, yeah, exactly. Well, they said I am. I should just believe them.
That's right. You said the sinner's prayer.
Right.
The sinner's prayer
isn't even in the Bible.
The sinner's prayer, if you've been led to true repentance, is the best thing in the world to say. But just to say it without even thinking you're a sinner, which most people in churches don't. Oh, they'll say it.
Right.
But when they get right down to it, oh, I do this, I do that. Look at the denominations that build on their little idiosyncrasy or their little pet golden lamb. And they build on that. No. And they do. We create denominations over these disagreements.
Right. Yeah.
All right. We're about out of time. Why don't you go ahead and go ahead and say and then say a final prayer.
I just was going to say, you know, a sinner's prayer can be as very simple as, I'm sorry, Lord, I believe. I mean, you know.
That's right.
Or it can be, you know, 5 minutes worth of you praying. It's every person, you know, prays and accepts Christ in their own way.
You don't even have to pray. If you really have repented in your soul, God looks at your motive, not your actions.
You're right, Kyle. That's
because
very true.
Remember all the actions these people in Laodicea had.
Right.
But he told them, I never knew you. Never. Depart from me.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, your prayer can just be in your heart. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yes.
Go ahead and say your...
Father, thank you so much for this program that you led today. We're so thankful for just your Holy Spirit and how you give it to us so that we can know that we can be saved. We can know for certain who we are in you. We can have a relationship with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, your Son, who gives us the ability have that relationship with you. We love you, Lord, and we're so thankful for your mercy and your grace, which gives us the opportunity to have that relationship with you. In his lovely name we pray. Amen.
See that what you just said? His grace gives us the opportunity, not my faith. I receive it by faith.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you for your time, Raven. Thank you, folks, listening, and we will be back. I plan on it next week at 3:00, next Sunday, Eastern Standard Time.
All right. I'm going to give you a quick call, Carl.
Bear, give me 2 minutes.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Call me in about 2 or 3 minutes. All right.
All right.
Mm-hmm. Take care.